Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we expect someone else? It's quite a question coming from John the Baptizer, relative of Jesus, forerunner of the Christ. And do not let this English translation fool you. John is asking a most serious question of his own accord, asking of Jesus, using a potent messianic title, Ha Erchamenas, the coming one, the adventing one. John and his disciples say, you see, we have been waiting from time immemorial for the Christ to come. We have been expecting great things from this anointed one in our land. He would come and bring judgment upon all the nations and all evildoers. The scales of justice would finally be tipping back toward the middle, toward fairness, not continuing on in the lies and deceptions and corruption and backbiting and backroom deal-making that has permanently marred God's lovely creation. It does not take much listening today to hear a similar cry of frustration. Since Christ has come into this world, it really does not seem like things have gotten a whole lot better. We still have the rising and falling of countries, and governments pushing and pulling back and forth still allow good rules and good morals to give way to sentiment and to our own ideas of emotion-driven fairness. Illnesses have not gone away. If anything, they have increased, maybe even got more complex. Poverty remains all around us, as does crime and decay, lying and cheating back and forth. Would you not think that the coming of the Son of God into this world would have fixed all of that? Or at least begun to scratch that surface of corrosion that has built up over the goodness of God's creation for so many centuries? Is Jesus the Christ, really? Or should we expect someone else? And Jesus' answer to us is the same as it was for John, for his disciples. Go, tell them what you have seen, what you have heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. In other words, John, and all those who wonder, the scripture prophecies are being fulfilled. And Jesus is the one doing those things that is fulfilling this prophecy. Jesus is the one. The Beatitudes that Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount with are coming true there in Jesus. The poor have good news preached to them. The gospel truly is here. People are repenting of their sins, turning away from their pasts. Forgiveness is being spoken by Jesus. The kingdom of God is near, at hand, there with Jesus. He is that kingdom's king. Through peace, through love, forgiveness, healing, dead raising, Jesus is reigning. He is kinging here on earth. And that last word that Jesus gave to take back to John was truly the clincher for John and for all of us as well. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. John would have to ponder such a word. He was certainly not upset by the good that Jesus Christ was doing. John himself had announced that Jesus is truly the one mightier than he, the strap of whose sandal he is not worthy to stoop and untie. And John steered his own disciples, his followers, to follow after Jesus, revealing the great truth that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what was John missing? What would lead him to ask such a question of Jesus? Why does he doubt his identity as the Christ? Well, his reasoning is not much different than our own concern with the ongoing troubles of this world. We, like John, have different expectations of Jesus. Naturally, we assume that God's presence here on earth in Jesus Christ will lead to a great change in the world. Things would be different. To some extent, it's true. It is happening. God has allowed for new medicines and treatments to be discovered for those who are sick with various illnesses. God has caused the abilities of surgeons to expand so that they too can be his instruments to bring healing and relief in this world. Not to mention all of the advancements in technology, communication, food production, water purifying, and structure building. Don't ever be fooled into thinking this is not God's doing. He causes and allows all of these good things to take place, certainly causing the improvement of life in this world. Yet sin remains, and ways to sin multiply. The Christian church has splintered into various factions and denominations. Many in these churches are less than faithful in their worship or devout in their Christianity. We too expect many great changes in this fallen world. In truth, what we are expecting, the greatness that would be to come, is the parousia, the new heavens and the new earth. We want it here and we want it now. That is what we think of when we hear the kingdom of God. And rightly so, God reigning on this earth. And Jesus has, in a way, brought all of that with him when he has come into this world as a man. He proclaimed forgiveness of sins, peace with God, by faith and trust in him alone. But he never promised any type of rose garden in this lifetime, in this still broken world. Well, what God did promise, what Jesus does guarantee, is the perfect garden, the perfect life and world still to come when he returns in great glory. That is our hope. It's what we cling to. That is what John failed to grasp. It is what we often fail to see as well as God's people, that there are different comings of the Christ. But all of those comings have been prophesied. It's just very difficult going back in time as a prophet, trying to understand exactly when all of these future prophecies will take place according to God's perfect timing. You can't grasp exactly when they will occur. So when Jesus first came into this world at Christmas, what we celebrate this time of year, he came as a baby boy. He was not ready at that time to take on the mantle of the Christ, the anointed one, to work the ministry of salvation. Rather, he came at that time to take on our nature. Son of God came to become Son of Man, too, for you, for all people, to walk in our shoes, to know our griefs, our cares, to understand our pains and our frustrations, to live perfectly here for you, to offer then that perfect life back to his Father for you by his own death on the cross, and to rise again in glory from the dead, victorious over sin and death forevermore, all for you. The season of Advent is all about these comings of the Christ, all of them, not just this time of year at Christmas. It's because really the gospel of Jesus is truly all about his comings to us in grace and in peace, all of these comings to us. As the first image on the altar pyramid, far left side, shows, we focus on Jesus' incarnation, where his course as our Savior did begin, his birth in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. His first coming was truly foreshadowed throughout the Old Testament time by all the different times that God's presence was there with his people, from the burning bush to the pillars of cloud and of fire, to the tabernacle itself, to that fourth man standing with the three in the fiery furnace. Center image on the Advent pyramid shows the bread and the cup. Christ Jesus continues to come to us week after week in the very sacrament of his body and his blood. The miraculous feeding of the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, and the feeding with five loaves of bread and two fish of the crowds there in the New Testament, all foreshadow this continual and miraculous feeding by God's gracious hand. That voice of Jesus continues to come forth into this world just as it did while he was here, this time through his bride, the church, through you and through me. And the word of hope, of comfort, of peace, and of grace that is there in Christ, it presses on toward the last day, the end of all things, which is depicted in the last scene on the altar pyramid, the Lamb upon his throne, standing with power over the seven seals, to be opened only by him. We look forward to this new heavens and new earth, the last day when Christ comes again in glory. And so, yes, Jesus is the Christ. He is the coming one. There is none other, and there could be no other. For Jesus has taken on flesh and blood, given his life for you. By his person and by his work, you stand, even now, forgiven, ready for his return, and readily feeding on his body and his blood in his sacrament. The Lord Jesus is the one who has come, who is coming still, and who will come again in great glory. This, your brothers and sisters in Christ, is the true beauty of Advent, and truly the beauty that is the Christian life all year round. You know that Christ comes to you in word and in sacrament because he came to you first as a baby into this world. And you trust that he will indeed come again because he has come, and he comes to you still. Blessed, then, is the one who is not offended by him, by Jesus. Blessed, then, are you, his dear people. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.